years in the making. Star Wars.
The Empire strikes back. The Star Wars saga continues.
The next chapter in the Star Wars saga, Return of the Jedi.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Accelerate to attack speed.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
What a strong X-Wing.
The last remnants of the Old Republic have been swept away.
Use the Force, Luke. Let go.
This will be a day long remembered. It has seen the end of Kenobi. It will soon see the end of the rebellion.
The Force will be with you. Always.
And we are back with another episode of Remnants of the Rebellion. This is Matt.
This is Mark. We're back. Where did we go?
I don't know. We went somewhere, like a hyperspace jump, and we've...
I could be touche and say to a galaxy far, far away.
You could. I feel like that's been overused.
Probably so. But this is our Star Wars podcast from TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, which is where you can find our show and... our other show, the Rebel Radio Podcast, yes, which is our flagship pop culture show. And this is our Star Wars show. And we started this a few months ago. And, of course, the title is Remnants of the Rebellion. And the idea is that we wanted to talk about different moments in the history of Star Wars, the history of characters, things like that. And so today we're going to be talking about droids, a lot of droid talk. Not that god-awful cartoon, even though we will talk about this.
Yes, some, we will talk about
But the just
cartoon.
The characters of droids and how important they are in the Star Wars universe. But before we get into our main topic of the day, we want to talk about each other. Not in that way, Matt.
Yeah, no, not in that way.
I perked
up.
We talk Star Wars questions at the beginning of the show so you guys that listen can get to know us.
Yeah.
And see what you think and make comments if you like on our Facebook or Twitters, which our Twitter is at TrustMeI'mAJedi also. And Facebook, which is TrustMeI'mAJedi blog, I believe. But you can find all those links on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Just go to one place. It's a lot easier. And So we're going to be talking droids. Here's my question. First off, what's your favorite droid in the Star Wars universe?
Man, he's underrated, and he's probably my favorite because I wish he was used more. And that's IG-88. You know, he's the bounty hunter droid, and they made him out of spare parts, and we got a lot of his clone in Shadows of the Empire, but we didn't get a whole lot of them outside of the special edition scene in Episode 5. Whenever they're, you know, casting out the bounty of Han Solo, they want him alive. And, we did see him in that god-awful cartoon, but we'll talk about that later.
And I lean towards, it seems a popular choice, but I can't escape R2-D2.
Yep.
Even though Chopper in Rebels is really coming up fast, R2-D2 is just he's the greatest smart-ass fucking droid ever. He will let you have it. He will tell you what's up, and he saves the universe a lot.
And he set battle droids on fire in Episode 3.
Right. Yeah. So, Mike, the big question for the day: we've had some animated series. We had the Star Wars droids animated series back in the 80s, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you could take a droid and tell an animated movie from it, is it going to be your same character?
Well, or I'm going to choose something different.
You can choose people for him to team up with, too.
I'm going to go KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, and go HK-47, Hunter Killer 47. There was there's different versions. They had a one that could transform into... one transformed into Darth Maul in the video game, and that would be awesome, you know, if you had a droid that could do that. And they have enhanced armor. They're stronger than the droidicas, and they're smarter than the B1 droids, the dumb ones from the Gungan War. just a whole lot more interesting, more efficient fighting machine. That would be really cool to see something done about that character.
Did you ever fight? Remember, you and me, one day we're going to get around doing an episode about Star Wars Galaxies.
Yes.
That you and I played. Did you ever fight the HK in the game on Mustafar? Were you still playing at that point, or you had backed off some?
I think that's when I started backing
off. That little shit was hard. It took a group of characters to fight him.
I think you told me about that.
Yeah, and I think I fought him once and died fast.
Dang.
I think I would love to see a movie. I'm going to take your character, and I think like IG-88 teaming up with like maybe some other droids like him, or that, and they go on like this bounty hunting / murderous rampage or something, just this ultra violent droid war would be cool.
Because he looks so cold, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's like my dream animated Star Wars film. It would be like just these evil droids and the mayhem that they can do in trying to take over the underworld of Star Wars. I think that would be really cool.
They did make a clone of him, at least one that we know of in Shadows of the Empire. Of course, non-canon,
right?
You know? And every time I have to say non-canon, it reminds me of that meme with Emperor Palpatine, and he's telling Anakin, "Is it, there are many storylines that are considered canon, and he's like, is it possible to learn these storylines?" And he goes, "Not from Disney, instead of not from a Jedi,
right?"
But non-canon, but. You know, there had to be more than just one clone. There's somewhere, I bet somewhere there was a blueprint for an army
of
IG-88s.
Yeah.
Just like Chopper was actually built off of the old blueprint for R2-D2. The first draw-up of R2-D2 was actually a blueprint for Chopper.
Right.
So in a sense, if you pick Chopper over R2-D2, you're at least picking R2-D2's original design concept.
Yeah. Well, okay. Before we get into talking more droid talk in a minute, there's been a few Star Wars news briefs going around. Rumor is Thandie Newton is going to be in the Han Solo film.
Yes.
And it's not really confirmed yet, but at this point, since the movie's already started shooting, most of the time if you hear an actress is circling the project, they probably are going to be in it. I assume we'll get an official confirmation that she's in it soon.
Mm-hmm.
She's best known that I remember, Mission Impossible 2. She played the love interest, I guess you could say, of Tom Cruise's character. And so I'm assuming maybe some sort of love interest for Han Solo in this film, or even Lando, who knows?
She could be painted up and made into a Twi'lek,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we had Lupita Nguyen, I'm sure I'm butchering her name. She's in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and she ended up playing Maz Kanata, this alien creature that we had no idea. So so just because a female's in the film doesn't mean she's going to be a love interest. I shouldn't be sexist like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
What's wrong with me?
Jeez.
We're such
dumb guys.
Yeah, we'll leave the sexism to Han Solo. Him and Lando will do a good enough job at it. What have we here? Other Star Wars news. They've confirmed Rian Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy will be at Star Wars Celebration.
Yes.
So the panel is Friday. So are we getting the trailer that Friday in April, or are we getting it sooner? We still don't know.
Man, we still don't know. And I hope sooner rather than later. I think this time it could be at Star Wars Celebration, just because of how 2016 ended with Carrie Fisher. And, with all the tributes where was that Star Wars tribute that happened? Was that on Galaxies or was that on KOTOR?
It was on, The Old Republic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah. They did it on there.
Yeah. So I'd say sooner rather than later. If we're waiting, closer to December.
I'll be shocked if we don't get the Last Jedi trailer. And remember last year, here's what I've told people. Remember last year we got the first Rogue One trailer. Someone said it was like in March. I don't remember if that's true, okay? And then at the Celebration Europe or whatever last year, we got that behind-the-scenes footage from Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling, I'd be shocked if we don't get the Last Jedi trailer in front of Beauty and the Beast, Disney's next big film. And then at the panel, at the convention, we'll get a behind-the-scenes type thing. A lot of times studios are pretty predictable in their marketing. They don't change it very much from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them doing that again this year with The Last Jedi, similar to what they did with Rogue One. Give us a trailer before people go to the celebration, then give a behind-the-scenes thing at the celebration panels.
Yeah, that could happen.
And other news, you mentioned KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, and HK-47. Of course, Old Republic is still going on in video games. There's been a petition going around for Lucasfilm. Is it to make it canon again, or is it just a...
It's a Netflix... It's supposed to be for a Netflix series.
Right.
Because a lot of people, heck, maybe someone that's listening to the show, have been signing this petition to make Netflix air a KOTOR series similar to Jessica Jones, similar to Daredevil, and have its own standalone series.
Right.
And I think it's something that could work because I don't think anyone's opposed to having Darth Revan, you know, bring back, you know, brought back into canon. And HK-47 and, you know, the Jedi that, or, well, depends on how you played the game, but the Jedi or the Sith
right.
that could use both the light and the dark side at once.
Well, I think here's my thinking on this. I don't think a Netflix petition from fans is going to do any good. It never does, no. Okay? A petition didn't say Firefly 10 years ago. It's not going to make a Star Wars show out. But I do think that there's untapped potential there that Lucasfilm and Disney can't ignore. And I think as they're slowly allowing things in canon to in non-canon to come back, like Thrawn and a few other things, mm-hmm. I think in time we'll get more Old Republic. I think it's the fact that the Old Republic is still online and they haven't said anything about it not being canon tells me that they're not totally ignoring that universe.
Yeah, they know it's there.
And I think that it could happen. I think the Netflix series idea that was floating around a few years ago, Disney put on the back burner for now because they're focused on the movies. I think a Star Wars television series is very possible one day. What we will get, I don't know. It's there's so much possibilities, mm-hmm. but I think Disney seems to be focused now on the films and things. Now, what I do think we'll get is a new animated series very soon, and I think as early as this fall, we may get an announcement Celebration. Everyone knows Dave Filoni got pulled off as executive producer of Rebels for this the season currently. The fact that Disney and Lucasfilm still have not announced a season 4 of Rebels, the fact that if you look at the storylines of Star Wars Rebels, they seem to be winding down some.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if we have a brand new Star Wars animated series either in the fall of this year or early next year, and I think it's going to be announced soon.
Especially if Del Toro, Benicio Del Toro, is supposed to be Ezra.
That's been the rumors, yeah.
And you kind of leave, you know, this season with a question mark
right.
and not a fourth season.
And
so that you can be creative.
Now, where that animated series is that Filoni's possibly working on, rumors are that it's in between Jedi and The Force Awakens, because you remember there's 30 years there to explore. Most of the novels and books that have come out are all within 2 or 3 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. I mean, we could get stories of Han and Leia in there, lots of different things. I personally would love to see an animated series with the original characters.
Hasn't been done
yet. I think it would be a great tribute to Carrie Fisher to have Leia in animated form. I would love to see Luke and them and the things he went through to try to reform the Jedi Order after Return of the Jedi. The fall of Ben Solo, I think, could be perfectly told in an animated form.
Especially since we should know who Snoke is after this December.
Right. Possibly. Yeah, you know.
We should. And maybe
there's no mystery to Snoke. Maybe Snoke isn't anyone that people think it is. It's just a character that rose from the darkness. So Darth Vader dying. You know, yep. It's very possible. And so lots of possibilities with Star Wars as far as animated form. And that brings us to Star Wars in animation. You know, if we get the Knights of the Old Republic, Netflix animated series, live action, whatever. But Star Wars animated form is not a new thing. Clone Wars was not the first Star Wars animated series. Back in the 1980s, they tried two animated series. One was based on the Ewoks and one was based on the droids. Both are not very memorable for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most memorable part of them is Anthony Daniels voicing C-3PO. The Ewok cartoon, I think, had more in common with the Smurfs than it did,
yeah, it did.
Star Wars. I don't even think I've ever seen an episode of the Ewok cartoon. The droids one I have because I own the only DVD that exists anywhere, but the droids cartoon has only been released on a single DVD in America, and it has about 8 episodes on it. Now, remind you, the show only ran 12 or 13, I believe, and it has like 8 episodes put together like in 2 mini movies on it. And you can find it. I found mine at Half Price Books. It's not hard to find. And it's not rare, any 13 episodes. And it aired in the mid-80s, 85. And so 1985 it aired. And it was called Star Wars Droids, The Adventures of R2-D2 and C-3PO, right?
Yes.
And the animation's not bad for the 1980s on
no.
it. It's well done, and it's most known for appearances of some popular characters.
like IG-88.
IG-88 appears in it. Boba Fett appears in an episode. And that kind of stems from people remember the Star Wars Holiday Special that had the animated sequence actually introduced Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And very similar animation style in this. So Boba Fett appears in the Star Wars Droids cartoon. And the funny thing is, it takes place between episode 3 and episode 4 in continuity. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if these are considered... I'm pretty sure they're non-canon, the Star Wars Droids cartoon, because they're ridiculously silly. But at the time, though, in the mid-80s, animation hadn't taken the more serious turn it's taken now with shows like Clone Wars and Rebels. You know, yeah. Animation was more goofy. You know, the most serious you got was He-Man, Transformers, and G.I. Joe, and those weren't even that serious.
Yeah, even they had their campy moments.
Right. You know? So Droids was geared toward the younger fans and that sat at home on Saturday morning and watched cartoons. Yes, kids, there used to be a thing called Saturday morning cartoons. Nowadays, there doesn't exist nowadays. Nowadays, nope. You have 24-hour cartoons on Cartoon Network. And now, I know you are definitely too young to remember this airing, but you've seen pieces of it over the years.
Yes. Yeah, and I watched some clips on YouTube, of course, of IG-88. And if could finally, you know, the cartoons personified some of our more popular, less, you know, active role play characters like Boba Fett and IG-88. It gave them personality. IG-88, you know, was, you know, ruthless, and he was very cold, you know, just like a droid. An evil droid would be, you know, what you would expect.
All right.
Just like in Shadows of the Empire, he was, you know, very cold and you know, he didn't treat C-3PO and R2-D2 very well in the, I believe it was in two episodes. I want to say it was in two episodes of the series.
Yeah, and the Droids cartoon, like I said, even spawned a comic book done by Marvel. It only ran 8 issues, but the comic was actually kind of cool because, one, it was the first few issues were drawn by John Romita Sr., legendary artist, okay? Issue 4 crossed over with the Ewoks comic based on the show, so it was a crossover. And what's the cool thing is the last 3 issues were titled Star Wars According to the Droids, which was a retelling of the original film with new scenes and it told from the droids' perspective. So that the cartoon gave us that, which is kind of a unique piece of Star Wars history to know that you can find these comics. I think I have a Droids number 1 somewhere around here because I know I've picked up, because they're neat pieces to have. Yeah, they might be designed for children and they might not be the best part of Star Wars history, but I think they're a neat part of Star Wars history, just like the Ewok movies, which is another episode one day. That's what we. Mm-hmm. That's why we're bringing you the show. Star Wars history has developed its own history, and the Ewok movies are pretty terrible, but we will talk about them one day.
Yes.
So the Droids cartoon did give us that. It gave us 13 episodes of Star Wars animation that would never have existed at a time before we had the animation we have today. But most importantly, it gave us more adventures of two very famous droids, R2-D2 and C-3PO. And with that comes the importance of droids in the Star Wars universe. And growing up, watching a lot of science fiction stuff, I don't ever remember really... I remember robots.
Yeah.
Like Lost in Space.
Lost in Danger.
Plan 9 from Outer Space and different movies like that. Buck Rogers had a robot. I remember watching that with my dad and stuff. But Star Wars seemed to be the first movie that utilized droids for various things.
Yes.
And they were very important to the overall story. And they had personalities. And they were parts of the universe as a whole. And they weren't called robots. They were referred to as droids. And how important are droids in the Star Wars universe?
Oh, they give us the comic relief that, you know, you need in a Star Wars movie. That's, you know, now the necessity is to have a comical droid in every episode. We've had it, you know, R2-D2, you know, throughout, you know, 4 to 6, you know, even C-3PO, as stuck up as he is, you know, it's like, he's this really important droid. He's really smart. But it's like the funny part is he's always like cast off as a translator. He's never really able to do anything else other than translate. You know, he's really smart. And then, you know, of course, with the Ewoks, they think he's a god. That was pretty funny. You know, and he's this proper stuck up droid that's, you know, it's kind of comical. And, you know, of course, we know some of the other ones. The pod racing droids, the pit crew droids, those are pretty funny. For their limited role.
Well, before we get into some of the smaller droids, because I do want to talk about them.
Yeah.
Let's stick with 3PO and R2-D2, because obviously the entire Star Wars saga, in some ways, revolves around them as much as it revolves around Luke and Leia and Han and their children and so forth. You know, some people consider the Rogue One cameo gratuitous, but I almost felt like it was necessary.
It was.
You know, I just felt like it's not a Star Wars movie if you don't have an appearance from C-3PO and R2-D2. Now, do they need to appear in the Han Solo film? Probably not, unless for some bizarre reason, Han happens to end up on Alderaan. And, you know, obviously R2 and 3PO are with Bail Organa.
Yeah.
You know, in the times of the years before A New Hope. That would be the only way I could see them being there. And someone did mention that, well, in Rogue One, was Bail on Yavin when that mission was launched?
Ooh.
You know, like, why were R2 and 3PO there watching these ships be launched? Because wouldn't Bail have either been at the base? Well, he was at the base.
He was.
So maybe he stayed there. He hadn't gone back to Alderaan yet. So they didn't really... It's a nitpicky kind of continuity thing, you know? Because we know he's on Alderaan when A New Hope starts because his planet gets blown up. Mm-hmm. You know, so... But it's a nitpicky thing. Well, why were 3PO and R2 there? Well, you know, they weren't in the planet. Or maybe he, at that point, R2-D2 and C-3PO had befriended Princess Leia enough that they stayed with her. Because we knew she was around somewhere because she was obviously up in the skies in the ship when they handed her the plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, R2-D2, obviously, like you said, 3PO doesn't get a chance to shine. He's always a translator, but he's always there, too.
Yeah.
He's there to help R2-D2 out. He's there to help whoever he can. And R2-D2 is there from the very beginning. At the very beginning of episode one, we get to see him saving the world when he saves the ship and everything for Queen Amidalia. You know, and these two guys are kind of like the Batman and Robin, in some ways, of the Star Wars universe. Because without them, man, things don't happen. They don't get out of the garbage chute alive.
No.
You know, Amidalia's ship blows up. Luke doesn't get his green lightsaber in Return of the Jedi to help, you know, rescue Han. What else am I missing that the droids do? Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith.
R2 doesn't take out the battle troopers, droids,
and the elevator. The elevator. He's trying to get the elevator back up because they have Senator Palpatine at the time with them. They're trying to rescue him, and then
Empire Strikes Back. R2 opens up the door so Lando and Leia can escape to the Falcon.
How many times has he been the co-pilot, too?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Empire Strikes Back, Revenge of the Sith. Wasn't he Little Anakin's co-pilot?
Yes, he was Anakin's co-pilot. He was Luke's co-pilot on Dagobah.
Yeah,
you know, on Dagobah. He's there with Luke, helping Luke out, and, you know, Yoda being feisty with him. And, you know, R2-D2 provides some comedy relief there. These two droids, I was almost said guys, they're not guys, played by Anthony Daniels and the late Kenny Baker, brought these characters to life in a way that made these droids memorable. And from the very first moments of A New Hope, where they go to walk into the bar and the bartender says, "Your droids aren't welcome here," you know?
Yeah.
We saw that these droids are part of the Star Wars universe as a whole, and R2-D2 and C-3PO are at the center point of it all. And without them, we maybe don't have the saga as we actually know it. And, of course, 3PO was built by Anakin.
Yes.
And we got to see the development of him over the three films. He was just kind of parts put together in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
In Attack of the Clones, he was kind of unpainted. Then in Revenge of the Sith, he's shiny and gold. And they were living with Anakin's uncle in Attack of the Clones. Yeah, he had left 3PO because his mother had gotten freed and captured by Tuskens and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, where is Star Wars if they don't have 3PO and R2?
They're an essential part, man. It's like you don't see it. You see them, like, I view them as comic relief. I'm sure a lot of other people view them as comic relief. But like you said, it's like there are situations where, you know, they don't get out of those situations, those dangerous situations, if they don't have the droids. And they provide a key role that is often overlooked. If you're not Anakin or Luke or Han, you're overlooked, you know?
Right. And you know, and here's the biggest thing. They're the only team that had their own animated series before anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have an animated series based on Luke or Han or Chewbacca. Why
Which
not
would have made sense.
Why not a Wookiees animated yeah. series? But Lucasfilm or chose back then to do an animated series on the Star Wars droids because they knew that they were popular with the children. They even had merchandising for that show. That show had action figures and spaceships sold for it, which are very valuable today because there weren't a whole lot produced in 1985. Mm-hmm. So some of those droids toys are worth a lot of money. And along with R2-D2 and C-3PO being at the center of things, there are a lot of other important droids in the Star Wars universe. They have medical droids, like FX-7. Luke gets his hand fixed with it. The other R2 units that help fly the X-Wings, the R5 units. Remember, we see an R5 unit in A New Hope where...
R5-D4.
Yeah, he's like, this thing's busted, and, you know, it's motivator or something. So that's how R2-D2... They, in some ways, R5-D4 is the saving grace of Star Wars universe. If he doesn't malfunction, R2-D2 and 3PO don't get bought by Uncle Owen.
It's true.
You know?
It was the Force, man. The Force made R5-D4 blow up.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
If R2 doesn't run off, Luke doesn't somehow meet Ben that early. I mean, hopefully we think he meets Ben Kenobi eventually.
Yeah.
But R2 brings Ben and Luke together.
And who knows? Maybe Tusken Raiders... You know, bang up the droids.
Yeah, and we never see them again. And I mean, I got back on R2 there. It just shows you how important they are. But other droids in the universe. What other droids bring the Star Wars universe together besides R2 and 3PO?
Oof.
We have probot droids for the Empire that hunt down Han and Chewie, and that hunt down Chon and the Rebel base on
the
Hoth.
The probe droids.
The droidicas and a new. We got a lot of droid action in the prequels. That is one thing we got.
We did.
Because we had a droid army. The
B1s.
The Separatists use a droid army. The super battle droids.
Yep.
The droidicas, the destroyer droids. Well, I know I'm probably missing some.
There has to be more.
But you really think about it, we had the stormtroopers in the original trilogy, but until we got the clone troopers, it was all droids in Episode 1 Phantom Menace, an entire droid army that were programmed by a droid control ship. And, of course, they destroyed the droid control ship to stop the army that was battling the Gungans.
Mm-hmm.
So on the Empire side, droids were important to them. That was their army.
It was.
You know?
The B1s were pretty dumb. I mean, they tried really hard to make them
Roger, comical. Roger.
Roger, Roger.
And that's almost a good segue, but we're not at the end of the episode for what our next few episodes we're hoping to bring to y'all. We're hoping to bring y'all a how we would redo the prequels.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be a big 2 or 3 part episode where we're going to be talking here real soon. I mentioned medical droids. Bounty hunters. We mentioned IG-88 was a droid bounty hunter. So that tells you that there were droids out there that were smart enough and programmed enough that they could fly spaceships and hunt bounties.
What were those droids? You know the ones that had the staff with the, it's like the proton staff that would spin around? They're like the Grievous helpers.
The Magna droids.
Yeah, Magna droids.
Yeah.
Those.
Magna guards or something like that called.
I guess we could count Grievous as a droid.
He's cyborg, so
yeah,
part
cyborg,
droid.
Part droid.
Yeah. I mean, you want to go that route, Darth Maul's now cyborg in the Star Wars Rebels since he's got metal legs. So cybernetics and droids in the Star Wars universe play this huge part. There's the pit droids, as you mentioned, for the pod racing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's got to be something else. The medical droids, FX-1, the probots.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other droids I might be missing in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, the pit droid. Oh, the mouse droid. Whenever Chewie scared it away in the Death Star, looked like one of those little robot vacuum cleaners that you have in your house, but you had the robot, the mouse droid. You had the droid that interrogated Princess Leia.
Right, and then the torture droid in Jabba's Palace, EV-9D9, so they used droids for torturing R2 and other droids.
Yes.
The power droids, which were the gonk droids. Always forget about them and their little just walk around going gonk gonk gonk. And I think that's why they called them gonk, because they were like they made a noise like they were going gonk.
Yes,
and I'm just saying gonk on the show gonk. Here. And 2-1B. I said FX-7 was a medical droid, but 2-1B was a medical droid. So I said that wrong. You know, I apologize. And that's one thing about our show. We love Star Wars, but we don't know everything.
Yes,
and we sometimes get something wrong. It does happen now and then.
You know, we're human.
And, you know, you actually can go on the Star Wars Wikia, and they break down droids for you, which is what I'm looking at as we do this show. And,
very helpful tool.
You know, I mean, they had, according to the Star Wars Wikipedia, they had maintenance droids, they had engineering droids, environmental droids, protocol droids, servant droids, childcare droids. And see, these are the kind of things where you almost know too much about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Assassin droids. You know, the Death Star droid, as he's known as because of his toy. He made an appearance in Rogue One. He's like that droid with the white face.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
And then there is the 3PO unit in Empire Strikes Back that's really rude to R2. I mean, to 3PO.
Yeah.
He, like, basically cusses him out, like, fuck you, man, you know? I'm not going to help your ass out, you know what I'm saying? And, The other interrogation, did you mention the interrogation droid that tortures Leia? Yeah, yes. It has a shot on her. Yeah, that's a big moment in Star Wars because they threaten Princess Leia with it. The droid that delivers the twins at the end of the Phantom Menace, that's a big one.
It's another medical droid.
But it seems like astromech droids and protocol droids seem to be the biggest droids in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, yeah.
And without
the first ones we see.
Right, and without them, it seems like the universe almost doesn't click in Star Wars without those droids, you
almost
know?
Almost doesn't.
And because those guys make things happen in the Star Wars universe. They have to pilot the X-Wings and the B-Wings and the Y-Wings and the Z-Wings and whatever.
They have to translate.
They have to translate things.
They have to speak bocce.
Yes. And 3PO translated for Jabba the Hutt.
He did.
You know, we forget about that.
I'll never forget whenever the Ewoks, he's telling them the story of the Death Star, and he goes, boom, and they all, like, shiver.
That might be 3PO's one of his shiny moments, yes. Is when he's, like, telling the stories. Well, after they find out he's a god, or they think he's a god, you know, they all of a sudden are like, oh, this, you know, when he's floating in the air and Luke makes him float, and he's like, I didn't know I had it in me. You know, that might be his greatest moment in the Star Wars saga. Yes. Do you think?
I think so. It's his most important role. Another time he wasn't just a translator. He still was translating, but he wasn't just a translator. He had to be a symbol, you know. He was almost Batmanish. He was a symbol, you know, of something, some sorts.
So, let's talk about the newest droid in the Star Wars universe a little bit. K2SO. Out of everything in Rogue One, he might have been my favorite part, and he wasn't even a human character.
Yeah.
I love how his interaction with the other characters seemed real. And the fact that he goes, I have to do it because Cassian told me so. They added a humor level to him that was right up there with 3PO and R2-D2. And
a little sassy, a little sarcastic.
And in the end, when he sacrifices himself to save the mission, you actually kind of felt for him.
Yeah, you felt bad.
And we only got to know K2SO in a short time. And I told someone this, my one beef with Rogue One was getting to know the characters better. It felt like their sacrifices to me felt like, eh. But it's bad when you felt sadder about the droid dying in some ways than you did the characters.
Yeah.
Because he was such a memorable character very quickly in a short time in that film. And he was brought to life by Alan Tudyk, who's a very good comedian. He was also in Firefly and Serenity. And I think he did the mocap work for it, and he did the voice of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that was the first time we'd ever seen a droid look like that. I mean, there might be one in the background in one of the Star Wars films, but
yeah,
it was just a really cool type droid character. And I wonder if we'll get to see another one in one of the other films, maybe the Han Solo movie.
I've seen some in like the video games, like Star Wars video games.
Possibly so.
Something like that.
And your thoughts on K2SO?
No, same thing. It's, you know, he was able to develop himself and solidify himself in a short time compared to the other characters. And, you know, he was very selfless at the end. You know, he showed a lot of personality. And, you know, you really missed him. You really missed that you didn't get, you know, a little bit more of him. But, you know, he gave us enough to where, you know, it was meaningful.
Right.
You know.
So, another new droid in the Star Wars universe, of course, is in the new trilogy, in The Force Awakens. We were introduced to BB-8.
Yes.
BB-8 has very quickly become as popular as any other character in the Star Wars universe. And not just BB-8. I think Rey and Finn have done the same.
Oh,
and Poe. And that just shows you the popularity of Star Wars in general. It's how quickly these characters are already, a little over a year after their new film came out, ingrained into the pop culture and the Star Wars. And most important, BB-8, we are introduced at the very beginning of the film. As we see him and Poe, they're trying to get the map of Luke to safety as the First Order comes in and attacks. And we get a taste of BB-8's personality right away because he doesn't want to leave Poe. And super likable character, droid, for a droid already. And where will BB-8 go from here? I'm sure. I mean, the scene with Finn where he gives the thumbs up.
Oh, man,
is just
yes.
So funny. When the ship is rolling around and he's trying to hang on, he latches himself. There's so much to love about BB-8 in a short time.
Droid, please.
Yeah, and where do you think we'll get more BB-8? And obviously we'll get more, but think BB-8's going to save the universe like R2?
I don't think so, man. I think he's played his part. He had the missing piece. I think we will get just as much of him. Because I don't think his role will increase, because we're going to have an increased role from Luke Skywalker. That's going to pull from that. Finn is going to have a bigger role in this series. And then, of course, Snoke is going to have a bigger role. We have new characters, you know. So, you know, hopefully BB-88 does not get lost in all of that, because there's a lot of stuff going into this episode. There's a lot of questions that they're going to answer, and there's new characters, too.
Right.
So... that's
and
a lot to think about.
On a bit of a tangent, before we'll get back on droids, there's been a lot of rumors that John Boyega, you know, only filmed about 12 days on this. So there's been talks that he's captured in this film. I've heard that rumor. He didn't have to get filmed a lot because he basically is captured, and apparently he's still captured when the film ends. That's a rumor going around about Episode 8. That he is taken back in by the First Order.
That's how they lure Rey and Luke.
Right, but there's been a lot of rumors that Boyega didn't do as much filming on this as he did the last one. So we'll see. You know, but you know, it's rumors though. We could all be wrong. It's fun to talk about Star Wars rumors, because when we report on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, I almost never post rumors, but it's fun to talk about them though, because you never know. Just like the Ezra rumor of Benicio del Toro.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it is fun to talk about them. BB-8, no, you're right, and R2-D2, who, of course, awoken at the end of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, Luke is going to have a part with his droid. Yeah, he's had for years. And I'd like to see some more interaction between R2-D2 and BB-8. They met each other there briefly, and I just think their attitudes could play off of each other well.
I think so, too.
You could have some Abbott Costello-type moments with R2-D2 and BB-8.
And
3PO in the mix, too.
3PO, like, just trying to contain them, trying to set the bar, you know.
Right. And getting to see Luke act with R2-D2 again, you know, and 3PO, and the adventures they had together already. So droids will continue to play a part in the Star Wars universe, I'm sure. I imagine the Han Solo film will have some appearances from some droids and things like that.
Definitely.
And because droids make the Star Wars universe go around. And I'm sure in animated form, we'll get more adventures of Chopper still in Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, definitely.
And that's my biggest thing. If Rebels does end with 3 seasons, I want more Chopper. Can we just get a Chopper animated series?
I mean, didn't we see him? Didn't we see him pop up?
He popped up in Rogue One, yeah. And then 3PO and R2, they appeared in... I know one of them appeared in Rebels very briefly.
Yes.
It was when they went on Bail's ship or something, R2 and them were in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems R2-D2 and C-3PO are the glue that maybe holds it all together just by their appearing in all the films. They're the only two characters that have appeared in every film, including Rogue One. They've appeared in every animated series form. They were in Clone Wars quite a bit. They've been in Rebels. And you almost could call it Star Wars, The Adventures of R2-D2 and C-3PO. Remember the original title was like Star Wars, The Adventures of Luke Skywalker. Yeah, you know, before Lucas shortened the title back in the many, many years ago in the 1970s. He could have just called it the R2-D2 and C-3PO Adventures.
He could.
But it just wouldn't have been as exciting. But droids are a big part of Star Wars history, and now people are creating their own droids. You go to Comic-Cons, they bring droids they've built. The Sphero put out the really cool BB-8 droid, which I have, which is the coolest Star Wars toy I've had ever. If you've listened to any Rebel Radio or this show, you know that I got it for my birthday from my wife, and it's the coolest Star Wars toy anyone's ever given to me. You know, and so droids will continue to play a part in the Star Wars universe, right?
Definitely. I mean, you can't not have a droid. I mean, we've seen it with every new movie, every new series. There's been a droid. There's always been a droid or two that have been there to fill in that gap, that comedic gap, or to be that glue that kind of holds the story together.
All right. And if you're really interested to watch some of the Star Wars droids cartoon, it's a lot of it's on YouTube. You can watch those episodes and
yeah.
And they're quirky. They're not terrible, no. Honestly, for an animated show. They're just not the standard today. The Ewok show is pretty bad, but I think they geared the Ewoks. I think the idea was droids was supposed to be for the boys. The Ewok show was supposed to be more for the girls. That could make sense. And eventually we'll get around to talking about, we'll probably do an Ewoks episode where we talk about the cartoon and the not so memorable television movies
yes.
for the Ewoks.
The dark side of Star Wars film.
And let us know what your favorite Star Wars droids are. Leave us some comments on our Facebook or our Twitter and let us know your thoughts on Star Wars droids. And we don't know if it's going to be the next episode, but we do plan on bringing you a 2 or 3 part series where we tell you what we would have done differently on the Star Wars prequels from the beginning of the films to the end, how we would have plotted them differently, how things would have played out. And go ahead and start sending us your thoughts on those. What would you have done on the differently on the prequels? And
no bashing, just
don't let George Lucas direct or anything like that. We know all the standard fan stuff. Or don't let Jake Lloyd be in the movie.
Yeah.
We're talking about plot devices and ideas, how the prequels could have been improved upon a little bit.
Yeah, we know you wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger to play Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, that was only you, Matt. That was you, Matt.
Yeah.
Matt would cast Arnold Schwarzenegger in every film.
Get to the X-Wing and have him play every part. Just have him play every single part.
But so far, we're seven. This is our 8th episode. And the support for Remnants of Rebellion has been really good.
Yes.
We appreciate that very much. And we hope you continue to listen. And I know we might have said a little bit a lot today, but it just seems that way.
Yeah.
And
we did.
You know, but sometimes we do these things because we want to get an episode out and, you know, we do the best we can. And,
yeah.
And we're not professionals here. We're not Chris Hardwick.
Let's see you talk about droids. Yeah. Huh?
And, so, thank you for the support of Remnants of Rebellion. And remember, you can find all our shows at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com and Rebel Radio Podcast there. Both shows are on our RSS feed. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps out a lot to get us up in the search engines. And subscribe to us on iTunes. We're also on Google Play now. Mm-hmm. And that's all we've got, though. Thank you for your support of the show. TrustMeI'mAJedi.com is where you can find it. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And until next time, in the galaxy far, far away, we will be there.
Always.